Amen. It's good to be here at Centralia Bible Baptist Church, and what a wonderful thing. What a wonderful song to be singing. Holy, holy, holy. That's it. Our God is worthy, and He is holy. And the Bible, my Bible, tells me that you're to be holy because He is holy. What a wonderful song. Great Sunday school message this morning. And I feel great that the Lord has given me the opportunity to be here to preach to you. I want to invite your attentions to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. We're going to look at five verses here, verse 41 through 46 in 1 Kings chapter 18. And if you're able to stand, if you would please stand as we read God's word this morning. First Kings chapter 18, verse 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop not, or stop thee not. And it came to pass in a mean while that the heaven was black and the clouds and the wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to preach this morning. And Lord, we pray that as we are going through a time of transition here, that Lord, we pray that your hand be upon us. And Lord, that we can see you and see you through the trials that we might have. Lord, we love you so much. We just ask you to strengthen our faith this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. You know, the title of my message is Seeing Beyond the Horizon. And sometimes we have to do that, but I also added through the eyes of faith. And faith is important. We understand that when we get saved, that faith becomes very important, that we have to have faith to receive Jesus Christ. What is faith? Well, the Hebrews says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen. And so we didn't see Christ die on the cross for us, but we know that he did. And because we know that he did, we know that if we are here today and we do not know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have to know certain things. First, we have to know that we're a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that we were born in a sin through Adam and Eve. You know what? Going to church doesn't save you. Amen? Amen. Going to church doesn't save you. Giving money to a church does not save you. Being a good person does not save you. We know that the Bible tells us that for all we all fall short of the glory of God. We're all sinners, and we have to know that. The second thing to know is that Jesus Christ cares, and he loves for you, and he died on a cross for you. The Bible tells us, but God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, how important that is. And we understand the Bible stands on that. Jesus Christ died on a cross. And you know what? He died for poor, pitiful Scott Peace. I don't deserve it. But he died for me. If you're here this morning, you're not saved yet. Because the Bible says that when the way we get saved is we kneel down. It says, if we call upon the name of the Lord, thou shalt be saved. The only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, it takes faith to call on something you've never seen. But Jesus Christ is real. He's real. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you first must know that you're a sinner. Second, you must know that Christ died on the cross for you. There is a part that God prepares our heart when we call upon Him. He humbles our heart. The Bible says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and He shall lift you up. How do we do that? We kneel down, we say, God, forgive me of my wicked sins. The thing that saves you, though, is the call upon the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. Jesus, save me. It takes faith. But it also takes faith to walk with God. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, oh, how important it is. You have to have faith to walk in the valleys and in the hilltops. You have to have faith to see in the midst of your trials that Christ has it under control. You know, if you're saved here today, Christ loves you, and He promised to take care of you. You know what the difference between a lost person and a saved person is? The hope of Christ. That's the difference. You know, if you look at statistics between Christians and non-saved people, you see over here, you see people that are massively into the world and massively seeking after things of themselves and massively distraught and massively hopeless. You see suicides on the rise. But you look over here at the people that have hope. They have hope in Jesus Christ. And no matter how bad it gets, they keep their eyes upon Jesus. You know, sometimes we ask the Lord, we say, God, give me patience to see your hand in my life. Lord, open my eyes. I don't know if you prayed that, but I prayed that many times in my life. Lord, open my eyes that I may see you and see your hand guiding me and leading me the way you want me to go. Oh, how important it is. And we see here that during this time, Ahab is in the midst of a famine. If you look back in 1 Kings a little bit further, you see that in chapter 18, we see that a challenge goes to Elijah. And the false prophets are lining up and they're challenge Elijah. And we see victory with Elijah as he calls upon God and says, God, show that you're real to these wicked people. And I'm not going to go through it, but you see that as he did that God caused fire from heaven to come down and lit the altar and the sacrifice. Oh, how important it is. I love what happens. I love the part that Elijah, as he is talking to at the very end of, let me get there real quick here. Oh, at the end of chapter 17, verse 24, and the woman said to Elijah, now by thou art a man of God, and that thy word of the Lord is in thy mouth is truth. I really messed that up. Let's try it again. And that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. You know, Pastor Peace knows nothing. Pastor Peace is not a Bible scholar. Pastor Peace does not have wisdom on his own. Pastor Peace knows that the wisdom comes from the Word of God. And that's what we have to lean upon. And so as we're looking here, we dive into this and seeing that this time that King Ahab is there and there's great famine and there's a great drought that's going on. And with a great drought comes this great famine. I was just thinking, it reminded me of Joseph and how Joseph, he had those years of plenty and plentiness and he stored up. And then in the years of famine, he could provide for folks. And I was just thinking the same thing, that famine was really bad in these times because famine killed people. People would starve to death. Have you ever seen those commercials of third world countries without food? And these little kids starving? Your heart just breaks for them. Just breaks for them. Famine is not a good thing, and we see the famine had been going on for a while. And as Ahab calls for Elijah, he says, hey, I need you to do something. I need you to pray. I need you to seek your Lord and seek the God for this. And Elijah said, and I believe Elijah had faith. He said, just wait and see what God's going to do. Elijah knew what the Lord could do because he'd seen it so many times. I want to read this in the midst of famine and despair and the faithful remnant. Elijah prayed and he bowed, and something miraculous happened. Through faith, they saw the boundless and hopelessness, through faith, they saw beyond hopelessness and the realm of God's promise. I have in my notes, how is your faith today? How is your faith? You know, sometimes we go through trials. And this message isn't for the lost. Listen, if you don't know Christ, get it right today. Know him. You could become a part of this family here. That'd be awesome. But if you do not know Jesus Christ, get to know him today. But I'm really gearing this towards Christians. Because sometimes in our mountains that we climb and our valleys that we go through, we forget that faith is very important. You know, it's funny. It seems like we're either hot or cold sometimes. You know that? It's not that. You know, I think God's plan would be to be a straight line. Well, excuse me, not down here. A straight line up here. Always seeking him. Always keeping our eyes upon him. But we don't do that, do we? Our walk is like this. And sometimes that's hard. But can I tell you, when we're in our pits of our despair, that's when our faith should be the strongest. Oh, I remember times that I had to have faith, times that I had to seek after God, and times that I just had to have faith that God's in control. So I'll share this. You ever get the flu? Really bad? Well, I had it on Thanksgiving. Yeah, that was my happy Thanksgiving. Even mashed potatoes were just, I don't want to go there. But there were times when I was in that valley, as a pastor said, God, would you take me? Because this is horrible. God, would you take me? But listen, even in our worst times, we've got to keep our eyes upon Jesus. Keep our eyes upon Christ. I just have a few points, not a lot this morning, but number one, through the eyes of faith, we can see the invisible. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. You don't have to turn there. It's a very short verse. It says, for we walk by faith. You guys could finish this, right? And not by sight. You know the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament? The Old Testament is seeing as believing. The New Testament is built upon Christ, which you have not seen. The Old Testament's built on the law and how the law was built there. The New Testament is built upon Jesus Christ, who we've not seen. But is Christ real? Oh, I tell you, I think I did this last time, but there's new people here, so I'm going to share it. I like to tinker. I like to invent things. And I thought it'd be cool to invent this machine that you could put on your head. And we as Christians could push a button and download all the reasons that we know that we're a Christian and we're saved. All the things that happened in our life that proved Jesus Christ was who he said he was. You know those times, through sickness, through money problems, through church transitions, we just download that. How we got saved and why we got saved. You know, if you're saved to hear, every one of you here has a testimony. It's unique. Don't ever think your testimony is not a good one, because every testimony is precious. And we should take our testimony and we should protect it. We should share it. And so we take all those things, we put in this cap thing. I had it all drawn up and everything. You put it in there, hit download, and then you take it off, and you go find someone that's lost. And you don't even say, hi, I'm Pastor Peace, you don't even have to say that. You tap them, you come up once behind someone, sneak up, tap them on the shoulder, boom, put that on, hit download.
and they go, praise God, I want to know him. Well, come on, let's go to the altar. I'm there. You pull that off, you tell them how to get saved, they get saved. And they have all my memories of where Christ was and how he was always there when I needed him. That's awesome. Then you give him a copy of that and you have him do the same thing. Wouldn't that be awesome? Christ has done that already for us. If you're saved this morning, he's given you the hat. He's given you the testimony. You know, testimonies are fairly easy to say, and I know that during my time as a pastor, I won't let anyone join the church, and when I do, I talk with them. I say, would you tell me your testimony, how you got saved? And as they tell the testimony of how they got saved, sometimes it's just pretty miraculous where God has taken someone. And I just want to tell myself, that is an awesome testimony. Why don't you share that with somebody? Because it would have an effect. And not just share that, but share with them how they can get saved. You say, well, Pastor Peace, it's so hard to get saved. I can't tell someone how to do that. That's what tracts are for. They have how to get saved on them. I've noticed that this has plans of salvation out there, and you can get this, and you can share your testimony, you can walk someone right down to knowing Christ. You can't make them. Wouldn't that be cool if we could make someone accept Christ? Come here, Brother Pat. Come here, Brother Pat. My Admiral. He calls me General, I call him Admiral, but I got more time in service. Come on over here, Brother Pat. All right, this is better. Wouldn't it be cool to have somebody and force them to receive Christ? Wouldn't it be cool to take their hands and put it behind their back so they don't go back there anymore? Boy, Admiral, you got to work on that rear end. Now you definitely won't have me back. Yeah, you're right. And cuff them down and say, you have no choice. You have to receive Jesus Christ. And force them to do that? Wouldn't that be great? That's not a part of God's plan. God gave us a choice. We choose to accept him or reject him. You can go sit down, Admiral. Thank you. Oh, how important it is. When we look here, we see when Elijah heard the sound of abundance of rain, there was no visible evidence to support his claim. He tells his servant to go out there and look, and he says, there's nothing. He says, go out there seven times and look again seven times. And understand, when you see something like that in the Bible, seven times means completion. It means completion. He tells him to go out and look seven times. And at the seventh time, if you remember what he said, and it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, thou risest a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go and say to Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thou not. You see a cloud, and I just think Elijah in his mind saying, praise God, God's going to deliver again. Praise God, he's going to be here, and he's going to, when the times that I just don't need him and Ahab just doesn't need him, then those times that everybody needs him, God's going to be there. And he sees the cloud, and he sees how God's going to do the abundance of rain. Elijah persisted. He said, go seven times. I think this teaches us several vital lessons in that seven times. The first one is that faith perseveres amidst hopelessness. Faith perseveres amidst hopelessness. Like Elijah, we must not be discouraged by circumstances. Faith looks beyond the visible into the promises of God. Again, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The second one is that faith produces prayer and trust. Can I just remind you that we are to pray without ceasing, as the Bible says? Our prayer life should be one that's acceptable to God. And you think about, what is acceptable, Lord? Well, my prayer life is one that continues all the time. You know, the Bible says this. It says, meditate therein on the Word of God both day and night. But it also says, pray without ceasing. Lord, that's kind of hard to do. And I think that it's amazing that God, when He says, meditate there on the Word of God both day and night, that means 24 hours of meditating, thinking upon the Word of God. Kind of hard to do if you don't spend time in it. Amen? Kind of hard to do if you aren't seeking the Lord and spending time in His Word to meditate there on it. I think that, you know, it's interesting because even just memorization of verses. Now, I'm just going to share with you, I have the worst memory of anyone in here. I do. And I'll just tell you this, that I have, in our church, I have little excuses for anybody that says, I just can't do it. And I just say, you don't try. Because I have the worst memory. In fact, I have a disability on, I wanted to say ADD, but I'm probably that too. But I'm dyslexic. I fought dyslexia as a child, even through high school and college. I graduated college and had to overcome things. I had to do little cheat things so that I could read. Now, dyslexia is this thing where I read things backwards. Sometimes I look at a word, and if I get really tired, I can barely read it all. And so I had to fight my way through college. And by the way, it was college was one where my grades were in the A's, not the beginning part of college, but my latter part when I grew up, my grades became really good. It's because I had to fight to learn how to do things that might be easier for somebody else, but hard for me. My daughters growing up, when I watching them grow up, I've never said this to them, so Stephanie, my daughter's here today, and my wife couldn't be here, but my daughters seem to pick things up like that. They didn't get that from me. They can read, I think it's Megan that can read something, and she can retain it. I didn't get that from me. I have to beat it in. I often think sometimes my memory is not a computer, but it's a stone plate with a chisel. But once it's in stone, it's there. But memory, getting back to memory verses, you know, one thing that we can rely upon in our memory is putting God's Word there where it belongs. And we have about 70 verses now that we've memorized as a church. And that's going through spending 2 weeks. You know, Miss Leah, you were there when we did this. Going through 2 weeks of just reciting and studying and challenging. You say, well, how did you do that? Well, I'm not a very good person. I picked on people in the audience. And if I knew that they didn't know their verse, I'd pick on them and have them stammer and stutter and try to do it. I'd say, next week we're going to get it right. And they didn't come back. No, they did come back. The next week they do it. And it's hard. But God has called us to hide His Word in our heart so that we won't sin against Him. If it's in here, and if it's in here, then He says, listen, once it's in here, let's meditate on it day and night. You know, long story short, that just makes your walk pleasing to God. Because guess what? You start walking like a Christian. You start talking like a Christian. You start thinking the way God wants you to think, and how important it is. And we see here that faith is that way where we just have to know that faith produces prayer and trust. Elijah's faith drove him to pray fervently. You know, I believe a man of faith, I didn't say a pastor, a man of faith is a man of prayer. So let me ask you this morning, how's your prayer life? Is it pleasing to God? Next, faith brings forth results. I like this part because I'm a result guy. At the seventh time, the servant reported a small cloud, the small sign of the hope that is going to be of a great rain. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. Matthew chapter 17, verse number 20. a verse that you probably know very well. It says, "And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed. And nothing shall be impossible unto you." You ever seen a grain of mustard seed? Brother Pat couldn't see it because, you know, even with his glasses, he still couldn't see it. But anyone else could. It's so tiny. It's just little. That's what God's saying. If your faith is like that little seed, that tiny little seed, if you have that much faith, you can go to Mount Rainier and say, "Get over there, Mount Rainier," and it'll be moved. How's our faith this morning? How is our faith? Oh, how important it is. Do you have faith that God's hand's in control today in your life? Do you have faith that God's hand's in control of this church? Do you have the faith that we walk? Remember, we walk by faith, not by sight. How important it is for us to just come to grips with that. Secondly, through faith, we inspire hope. We inspire the hopeless. Turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. And God's word says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let men see your light. You know, that's so interesting because it's so funny how when a Christian's in sin, they hide. They hide from the world. You know, when a Christian's in sin, they're the first ones out the door if they come to church. When a Christian is living in the world, the joyous sound of singing irritates them. They sit there with their face. You don't dare talk to them. And when church service is up and invitation's going on, they get up in the middle of invitation and they slip outside and they get in their car and they wait for their wife or wait for the husband. You know, nine out of ten times, it's because they have sin in their life. That other 1% is that they have anger in their life. Can I remind you, anger is a sin? You know, it's be angry and sin not was a righteous thing that Christ did. I don't know that we have that ability. But can I tell you that what we do and how we act and how we show others who we are affects other people. When you're at church, you know, every pastor wants their church to be the friendliest church in town. Everybody wants their pastor to welcome visitors, shake their hand, tell them that they love them, tell them that they're so happy that they're here, have a smile on their face. When the church service is going, and listen, I'm going to tell you the importance of music in church, the importance of music, because the reason we call it a music ministry is it's something that should be pleasing to God. When we lift our voices to the Lord, that pleases the Lord. That is a way that we worship Him. And music prepares our hearts for the message. Appreciated the prayer on, you know, guys, we've got to sing. Sing out. Raise your voices. Are you happy to be here? Do you want God to be in control of Centralia Bible Baptist Church? Are you happy to be here? Are you excited about what God's going to do here right now? Because God can do some miraculous thing if we have the faith that he's going to do that. But unfortunately, God uses something that is flawed. He uses us. You want a difference here? You make the difference. Just like revival, I'm not preaching anything that's not in the Bible, but even revival. How does revival start? Revival doesn't start with a pastor. You can have a pastor pouring his heart out over the Bible, preaching God's word, stomping his foot, snorting and yelling, and all those things. You can have all those things, and revival just won't happen. Because revival doesn't start with the pastor. Revival doesn't start with the song leader. Revival starts with every Christian that's here today getting themselves right with God. Saying, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Having that message that says, hey, you know what? Instead of seeing this person this way, I'm going to see the love of Christ through them. Now, I think I've shared this before. I'm going to just highlight it. Because I spent 20 years in the military. And in that 20-year time, I like to say, do this, and people just did it. There was no excuses. There was no explanations. I gave a command, said, do it, and they did it. It was simple. But one thing I found that through my military life is I don't like people very well. People can't be trusted. Amen? People just can't be trusted. People are going to do what's right in their own eyes. They're going to be self-centered and all that stuff. And as I was becoming a pastor, God was telling me to shed off all this stuff. But one, and I've told you this before, I think I've shared my testimony before, but one of the things was my last excuse of why I couldn't be a pastor is, God, I don't like people. I mean, how effective is it? If I walk up to someone in the church and said, why don't you just get right with God? Or if this is Pat. Right now! How effective would that be? Okay, so we're having, you guys are married, right? Or, no, I need a married couple. Need a married couple. B, don't be shy. You guys are safe. Pastor, we're having marriage problems. I'm not saying you do. Pastor, we're having marriage problems. The old Scott Peace military one said, well, I think you just better shape up, wife. You just better learn to be a little bit more subservient to your husband. And when he's talking to you, you better stand at attention. I heard that. Good luck on that one. That was the old me. Do you understand God had to break my heart for people? God had to teach me to love people. For the longest time, my saying was, how to love the unlovable. Because God had to teach me that. Oh, it wasn't easy. Sometimes I had to look over their demeanor. Sometimes I had to look over the things that they did and the things that they were. And it's so hard sometimes because I, as a military person, you tell me you're going to do something, you better do it. But as a pastor, you say, oh, I'll do it, and they don't ever do it. I get fearful when we do the midnight service and someone holds up a candle. We do testimonies. I love the testimonies. But the person that stands up and says, I love this church. I'd die for this church. I love this church so much. I think about it 24 hours a day. And then they leave like the next Sunday. You know, there's a saying amongst pastors, the ones you care about the most will hurt you the worst. Oh, how that is true. Sometimes we have to look past that. We have to look for the hand of God moving. And we have to see Christ in each and every one of us. That takes faith. You know, we look at the things that God has given us and the things that we have. I look at this beautiful building, and believe me, I know this building never looked this way when I was here. We had one little church way over there in the corner. That your fellowship hall was our main auditorium. And when we had that, well, we had a piano, and there was times where I had my little pulpit, and people would come in, and it would be packed. Well, I'm thinking, praise God, we had a packed Sunday. Boy, there'd only be like 5 or 6 people. It's not a big area over there. Well, I'm still praising God. But we moved into a different building. I don't know why we didn't buy this building, to be honest with you. I couldn't see the vision that Brother Tim could see. We bought that other little building that was a chiropractic center. We were praising God. That was a really unique place to have church. But it was a walk of faith. The whole thing was a walk of faith. We had to know that God wanted Centralia Bible Baptist Church to be here. And listen, it's 2025 almost, right? God still wants this church to be here. And God wants you to grow strong. And God wants you to have the faith that He desires you to have. That faith when times look hopeless, we need to shine our light lighter and louder than anyone else. Faith encourages action. When others see our faith, they get motivated to act. Elijah inspired Ahab to prepare for rain even before one drop fell. You know, it's funny. At Heritage Baptist Church, we had a boom of people that came. And we were going, I think we got up to like 120 people. So that's not a lot, but it was a lot for us. And we got up to 120 people, and I was like, how is this happening? I'm preaching exactly. Pastor Peace doesn't change. One thing you'll see about me, I'm the same yesterday, today, and probably be forever. Just like Christ and this. I'm not Christ, though. Be careful on that. But it's because I stick to the Word of God. I don't change very much. But can I tell you something? People were coming, and they were excited about coming. Our church was growing. Sometimes we'd gain like 10 people in one Sunday. And these people wanted to stick around. I thought, what is the difference? It was the people telling others, sharing their testimony. The lost world and saved people seeing the light of Jesus Christ and saying, that's where I want to be. Centralia Bible Baptist Church. That's where I want to be. I see the light of Christ in that church. I see the Lord's hand moving. I don't know how it's moving, but praise God, I can see it. And I want to be close to that. The last one is through faith, we become blessings to others. Turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 17. God's word says, for therein it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We see here in our text today that the miraculous rain that came was not a blessing only to Elijah. Wasn't just a blessing to Ahab, but is a blessing to all the children that were out there starving. How God he provided. You know, we see that through that faith brings blessings in dire circumstances, and I believe that. Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 says, and I will make thee a great, great nation, and I will bless thee, and I'll make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Faith multiplies the miraculous. I love that. What might start out as a small cloud booms into a thunderstorm and brought great rain. You know, in Washington, we're probably the most blessed state in all the Union. You say, why is that? The Bible says rain is a blessing. Rain is a blessing from God. And we might not feel it sometimes.
But rain is a blessing. And look at what God's done for our country. Look at all those blessings that we have. And look how a little bit of rain can turn things green. And look at the blessings of the great rivers we have and the waterfalls and the beauty that Washington State has. Can I tell you this? I've traveled all over the place, foreign countries, everywhere. And listen, Turkey's not a Washington State. Turkey's nasty. Iraq is not Washington State. Iraq's nasty. Even their wooded areas that they consider to be wooded is nothing compared to what we have. Missouri. Missouri can have different vegetation in it, and they have rain sometimes, but you can't go in the woods. Ticks and chiggers and snakes. Not a very good place to go. I freak people out when I tell them, yeah, I romp in the woods with my dogs just about every day. The guy says, are you crazy? I said, no, I live in Washington State. Okay, I am crazy. But rain is a blessing. And rain in our lives, you know, sometimes the thunder comes and the storms come and the rains come, but we always see the blessing that God has for us. You know, the Bible says this. It says, count it all joy. We need to see the joy that God has for us. The last thing I have, this is my conclusion, is through the eyes of faith we see beyond the storms of life and the abundant blessings of God. Like he has prepared for Elijah, he lets us know that if we persevere in prayer and trust in his promises, that he'll always be with us. Be an encouragement and blessings to others. Witness the miraculous workings of God. You know, I put in my notes, don't be surprised if you do those three things, Centralia Bible Baptist Church. If you do those three things, don't be surprised if you don't start growing. Growing in congregation. The last verse I have is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, Christ loves us. Let's live our lives with great faith. Let's walk in faith, and let's make sure that we're always seeing beyond the horizon. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this time to, Lord, just preach your word. Lord, as we have a time of invitation, I pray if there's somebody here this morning that does not know you as Savior, that they would come to know you. Lord, I think the most important job that you've given any Christian is the job of telling someone how to be saved. So, Lord, in this time of invitation, as the piano player begins, Lord, I pray that you can guide us.